Hello. Welcome to the Unity Spiritual Center of Albuquerque podcast featuring the Reverend Gordon Kyler or occasionally a guest speaker. You can find us online at uscabq.org or by searching for Unity Spiritual Center Albuquerque on Facebook or YouTube. You can visit us in person at 9800 Candelaria Road Northeast in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And now, Reverend Gordon Kyler.
Well, once again, good morning, everybody. And today we are going to wrap up our series on abundance. And abundance of all good things has been the title of this series. And today we're going to wrap it up by exploring the joy that comes from living a life of gratitude. Because gratitude is the anchor for all good things. Yes. Thank you, Omri. Be happy. Yes. Woo. Gratitude isn't just a feeling. It's an emotion, right? Okay. Gratitude isn't just a feeling. It's an emotion, right? Ah, there we go. Gratitude for our abundance is a transformative practice. And the reason it's a transformative practice is because it shifts our mindset. It deepens our spiritual awareness, and it aligns us with the divine good that is already all around us, in us, and through us. It shifts our focus. It shifts our focus from a consciousness of lack to one of abundance. So when we are cultivating gratitude, we are training our minds to focus on what we have rather than what we lack. Because we know in truth that we have all the good we could ever possibly need. And the only thing that limits our experience of that is our consciousness. It's all around us. Jesus said, you live in the kingdom. It's here. It's at hand. It's in you, and it's all around you. There is no such thing as lack except in consciousness. It's a powerful shift when we do that. It's a powerful shift because we know that what we focus our attention on does what? Expands, grows, yes. This is interactive. You can talk. Instead of seeing scarcity, we begin to recognize the ever-present flow of good that is in our lives. That's why I've been putting so much emphasis on this in this series, on focusing on the good, not on what we see that we don't like out there, what we may not agree with, what we may think is not good. We focus on what is good, what it is we want to have more of in our life. Now, that doesn't mean we don't see what needs to be fixed and what needs to be changed. Of course we do. But we focus and we put our energy on what we want to expand, what we want more of. We focus on what we want rather than what appears because we want to be in that flow of creating greater good. Not for just ourselves, but for everybody. Focusing on what we want rather than what is can be a double-edged sword, though, if we're not careful. The key difference lies in the energy we give to what we're seeing out there, what we're choosing to focus on. There's a creative power in envisioning. And when we focus on what we desire with a sense of possibility, faith, and gratitude, we activate the spiritual principle of abundance. When we are aligning with the idea that greater good is always unfolding, we become part of that energy of expansion, and we expand. In this way, visioning and affirming the good we seek can be a powerful creative force. In Hebrews, Paul wrote, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What was he saying? He was saying that the substance of things hoped for is already here. We just haven't seen it yet, but we've seen the evidence of it. We see the evidence of peace. We see the evidence of abundance for everybody. We see the evidence of balance and life. And if we can see the evidence, then we have to know it exists already. Give you an example. In our own lives, if we desire to have greater financial abundance, We can focus on that vision while giving thanks for what we already have, for being in that state of gratitude, for our homes, our friendships, our daily provisions. That creates co-creates a mindset with the divine, where we both are attracting and giving forth greater good. However, if we are focusing on what we want from a place of lack, what do we experience? We experience frustration, scarcity. We experience dissatisfaction. Dissatisfaction with what is. And when we're in that consciousness, we begin to reinforce a feeling of not enough. Not enough. Instead of expanding the good, we are amplifying a sense of lack. For example, constantly saying, I wish I had more money, while feeling frustrated about current affairs. Now, there's two problems with that statement. Number one, I wish. Wish is maybe someday, maybe if I win the lottery, maybe if a pot of gold drops from the sky. That's a wish. That's not an affirmation. It's always going to be out there somewhere in the future or out there in the ether, as Charles used to say. And if we're feeling frustrated about our current finances, we're creating an energetic block that can actually keep us stuck in lack consciousness. In contrast, we could say, I am grateful for the ever-increasing flow of abundance in my life. And that's not just about money. I am grateful for the ever-increasing flow of loving relationships in my life. I am grateful for the ever-increasing flow of life in my body, restoring and aligning all the cells of my being to health and wholeness. Can you hear the difference? When we're in that state of consciousness and using that kind of affirmation, we're shifting the energy. We're shifting it to possibility and to expansion. And that works in every area of life, our own and the world around us. Don't like what you see happening out there in the world right now? Shift your energy to what you do want to see happening out there in the world. People collaborating for the greater good, working together to end homelessness or climate change, lifting each other up, empowering each other. That's out there, and that's where we put our energy. So it works in all things. So the most powerful practice then that we can have in that process is combining gratitude for what is with faith in what is becoming. Gratitude for the good things that are happening. And let me tell you, there's a lot of good things happening out there in the world. Are you gonna watch the news on your phone, or are you going to look for the good things that's happening out there? Because as much things that we don't like may be happening, it's causing greater and greater good to unfold. And the more we focus on the good, the more good unfolds. So it's a balance. We combine gratitude for what is with faith in what is becoming. It creates a flow state where we are both content in the present and open to greater possibilities, to even greater possibilities. The act of being grateful grounds us in abundance, and vision then moves us towards creating a higher good. Together, they expand our experience of abundance. So the practice is, acknowledge what you have. That's gratitude. Clarify your vision of a greater good. That's desire. And affirm the good that is already unfolding. That is faith. So gratitude, desire, and faith. There's science behind this. This isn't just spiritual woo-woo stuff. The ancient teachers knew it. Jesus knew it, the Buddha knew it, so many others knew it, but science is now proving the power of gratitude. Gratitude has scientifically proven to enhance our physical well-being. When people are in a state of gratitude, they're healthier, they're more vital, their bodies literally absorb more nutrients from the food if you're eating good food. There are things we have to do physically to do this too. Being in gratitude reduces stress. It fosters resilience. Being in gratitude literally rewires our brain. It creates an energy of happiness and fulfillment. Not feeling happy in the world right now? Get into gratitude. It will change your consciousness. Regular gratitude practice leads to positive changes in the brain that are measurable with the equipment we have nowadays. There's enhanced areas associated with joy, with contentment, with peace. Some of the areas that are affected are there, and some of these are hard words to say, neural correlates of gratitude. Frontiers in Psychology just published an article not long ago where they had investigated the feelings of gratitude that correspond with brain activity and discovered that participants who imagined receiving help in times of need and really imagined it happening in the moment showed that they had a greater increase of activity in the prefrontal cortex and in the anterior cingulate cortex. I had to practice some of these words. Those are regions in your brain that are involved with moral cognition, value judgment, and emotional regulation. This suggests that gratitude has the ability to engage the brain in areas crucial for social interaction. And there's long-term effects in gratitude writing, writing letters of gratitude, writing little notes of gratitude. Researchers from the University of California, Berkeley, conducted a study where they had people write letters of gratitude for 3 months, and then they watched what happened. And over those 3 months, the MRI scans they did revealed that those who practiced this showed greater activation of the MPFC, the prefrontal cortex, compared with those who didn't, indicating that expressing gratitude can have lasting effects on our brains, on our minds, particularly in areas related to learning and decision-making. Want to learn new things? Want to learn how to get really good at the kazoo? Be grateful that today you got a kazoo! Mindfulness awareness. We've done a lot of research with that at UCLA, indicating that when we are in that state of gratitude, we are happier and more content, of course, but we activate the brain's reward center that leads to a release of neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine. So see, one of the great things about gratitude is you don't get hung up on whether you can pronounce these words or not. People know what you're talking about, at least on an intuitive level. Yes. So how do we cultivate this grateful heart? How do we do it? Well, we do it through simple practices. Yes. We can keep a gratitude journal. We can offer prayers of thanksgiving. We can consciously appreciate the beauty that is all around us. What do you focus on when you're driving down the street? Aside from traffic, you got to focus on that. Do you focus on these beautiful mountains we live next to? On the green buds that are showing up on the trees and the plants? On the beautiful sunshine and the bright blue sky we have here in New Mexico? I'm going to share with you some of the teachings that go back to ancient times. Starting with the Buddha. The Buddha taught that gratitude was a path to contentment. That was called santuti. He taught that true abundance is not found in external possessions, but in contentment of the heart. In the Dhammapada, verse 204, he states, health is the greatest gift. Contentment is the greatest wealth. A trusted friend is the best relative. And nibbana, or gratitude, is the highest bliss. Gratitude leads to contentment, which in itself is the greatest form of wealth, he said. He wrote about the practice of dana, or generosity. Buddhism teaches that generosity is natural outcome of gratitude. When we recognize the blessings in our own life, we are moved to share with others, which in turn expands our experience of gratitude. We know that whatever we give out multiplies. Any energetic form we give out multiplies in whatever physical form it takes. The Buddha often talked about how giving selflessly brings happiness, whereas hoarding brings frustration and anger and more impactful fear. He said, if beings knew as I know the result of giving and sharing, they would not eat without giving. Generosity creates a cycle where the more we give, the richer we feel. Not necessarily in material wealth, but in spirit. And we know that the universe responds when we give anything out. What about the Christ? Oh, wait a minute. Before I get to the Christ, as I was researching this lesson, I discovered that you all are familiar with the parable of the mustard seed that Jesus told, right? The Buddha had a parable of the mustard seed as well. The parable tells of a grieving mother, Kisagatami, who came to Buddha and said, please, Buddha, bring back my child who passed away. And the Buddha told her, go forth and find a mustard seed from a household that has never experienced loss. And so she went out searching. And she realized, after she could not find a single house that had not experienced loss, that suffering and loss are universal. But it taught her that when we shift our focus from loss to gratitude for shared human experiences, we move from grief to spiritual abundance. So we can be grateful in our losses and what we receive. We can be grateful that we are all part of one human family that shares similar experiences. And because we have shared those experiences, we can be grateful that we can support one another through them. So now the teachings of Jesus. Jesus constantly talked about the deep connection between gratitude and abundance. He demonstrated that a heart filled with gratitude opens the way for divine provision, spiritual fulfillment, and joy. One of the most powerful examples of this was when he fed the multitude. And what did he do first? When the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, we've only got five loaves of bread and a couple of fish. And Jesus didn't say, oh, what are we going to do? We are so poverty-stricken, we can't feed anybody. He said, wow, what a blessing. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that there's more than enough here to feed this multitude. And there was. It had been there the whole time. And they passed the baskets around again, and they were overflowing. It wasn't magic. It was working spiritual principles. It was getting into that feeling of generosity because those people in that crowd had plenty of food amongst them. And in that consciousness, they shared it and discovered that there was more than enough for every single person. But he gave thanks first. When we express gratitude for what we have, no matter how small it may appear, it expands to meet our needs. There's a story in Luke about the 10 lepers, where Jesus healed 10 men who came to him with leprosy, but only one returned to express gratitude. And Jesus acknowledged him, and he says, rise up and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, that was true for all 10 of them, but only one recognized it. Only one person recognized that his faith, facilitated by Jesus, made him well. And Jesus said, you got it. Now you can live a life of expansion. Now you can live a life of fulfillment. Now you are abundantly blessed. This tells us that gratitude is more than just good manners. It's an act of faith that deepens our spiritual abundance. And what we deepen in spirit manifests in experience. It has to start, like all things have to start, within us. So Jesus often spoke about shifting our awareness from worry to trust. In the Sermon on the Mount, he reassured us that gratitude for all things allows us to experience abundance. He said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about your body, what you will wear. For is life not more than food, and body more than clothes?" Now, he wasn't saying don't eat. He wasn't, thank God, he wasn't saying run around naked. What he was saying is, when your consciousness is focused on the abundance of the world you live in, you will have those things. You will be directed to do what you need to do to have them. Your good will expand. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is present, you're in it. But it's only those with eyes to see that recognize it." That's a key teaching we often miss. When we have the eyes to see that we are in that state of abundance, an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace, an abundance of supply, an abundance of love, it expands to meet our vision. Gratitude is a spiritual practice. He taught that gratitude is a way of seeing, of believing, and of living. It is not dependent on circumstances, but rather our choice to focus on the good. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore, Eric Butterworth, Emily Cady, all of the great New Thought writers stressed the same things. Charles Fillmore wrote that gratitude is a spiritual law that unlocks the flow of abundance. He said, "Gratitude activates the divine law of increase." We want increase in our life? We activate it. We activate it through being grateful. It doesn't take anything beyond that. He said, "Gratitude is the key to demonstrating prosperity. Gratitude is a great magnet, and when it is expressed from the spiritual standpoint, it is powerfully augmented." This means that what we focus on increases. We activate a spiritual law. Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, emphasized that gratitude transforms our perception of life. She wrote, "Praise and thanksgiving open the heart and the mind to the ever-present good of God. Instead of focusing on what is missing, gratitude helps us recognize and acknowledge what is already present. It shifts our consciousness from worry to faith." Eric Butterworth, in his fantastic book called Spiritual Economics, wrote that abundance is not about accumulating things, but about recognizing and expressing the flow of divine substance. Prosperity is not in the things, it is in you. It is the consciousness of freedom, of creative ideas, of gratitude, of being in tune with the flow of life. So gratitude is an energy. It's a vibration that keeps us in tune with the divine flow. So whatever we bless in life increases. Emily Cady in Lessons in Truth wrote, "We are all recipients of more good than we are aware of." Think about that. You are a recipient of more good than even you are aware of. And the more we give thanks for what we have, the more it increases. Prosperity is a state of mind before it is an outer experience. We don't wait for abundance before giving thanks. We give thanks first, and abundance follows. Myrtle Fillmore wrote, "Begin to praise and give thanks for everything, and you will find that your supply will increase, and you will know the law of increase is working within you." So in closing, when we live in gratitude, we awaken to the truth that abundance is not something we chase. It is a divine reality already present in and around us. Every breath, every moment, every blessing is an invitation to recognize and magnify God's good in our lives. Gratitude is the key that unlocks prosperity, the force that multiplies our blessings, and the practice that transforms our lives. It allows us to move from fear to faith, from lack to limitless possibility. So as we take these lessons in this series and go forth with them, let us make a commitment together. Let us commit to speak words of gratitude, to bless what we have, and to trust that as we give thanks, we set in motion the spiritual law of increase. For our abundance is already here. Open your eyes, open your heart, claim it, and watch as it expands beyond measure. Namaste.
We hope you enjoyed today's message. If you would like to support this podcast, you may do so at uscabq.org.